Okay. Sometimes I don't like it when we say get out and shake other people's hands, because it's really hard to get all y'all back once y'all start talking. So we're passing out. If you have your notes from last week, you have tonight's lesson. We gave out both lessons last week. If you don't have last week's, then you're getting a lesson. They're stapled together. Six. One lesson, six. So if you already have it in your notebook, you don't need that. But there is a single sheet that is kind of an extra thing. Tonight we're talking about the tongue. So the lesson series is the way of holiness, and tonight we're talking about the tongue, the power of the tongue. It's not in our notes. But I want us to understand, as we get started, we're made in the image of God. Tell somebody next to you, you're made in the image of God. You are. Amen. Who created the heavens and the earth? Who created the heavens and the earth? Eventually, we're all going to get on the same page and get started here. It's a little distracting. Who created the heavens and the earth? So God is a creator. You're made in whose image? You are a creator. Period. There's no exceptions. You're a creator. You're creative. You're a creator. How did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke, and the heaven and the earth was created. So there's power of life and death in the tongue. You become what you say. You create life or death. As a parent, you create life or death by what you say. By what you say to your kids. You create life or you create death. You create a child that has self-esteem or you destroy their self-esteem. By what somebody says to you. Some of you that sit in the room, some of you adults that sit in the room are grossly scarred because of what a parent said to you, or an aunt, or a grandparent, or somebody said to you or about you at some point, and you believe them. And then you wear that as an identity. Our society is really big on picking your identities, and they use it in a sexual manner. You pick your sex. You can be whatever sex you pick. And they try to really emphasize that, you know, it's not picking, this is your nature, and it's just coming out of you later on. You've suppressed it, and now you need to release it, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm totally against that thought, but the principle behind that thought can be very true. Because if you believe what someone says about you, then you begin to live that out. And if someone says you're stupid, then you may feel stupid the rest of your life. And you may hear people say something, and then you immediately interpret you're stupid. Not because that's what they're saying or intending, but because you have this deficit in your life, a self-esteem deficit that you think everybody's looking at you as if you're stupid. And so when you buy into it, you've got to be really careful how you self-identify. And I'm not talking about the modern sexuality goofiness, but I am talking about how you self-identify. I don't like Christians identifying themselves as alcoholics or addicts or anything else, because you're not a Christian / alcoholic. Amen. You can be a Christian overcoming alcoholism. You can be a Christian overcoming sex addiction, or stealing, or lying, or cheating, or adultery, or idolatry, or anything else that you need to overcome in order to successfully live your life as a Christian. But if you self-identify as whatever, I'm a drug addict, I'm a Christian, but I'm addicted to drugs, you're self-identifying that you're failing. And once you self-identify, then you wear that as a lifestyle. It's really important what you say to yourself. It's really important what you say to yourself. Okay? And you really should not wear the clothing, the torn, ragged, rotten, dirty clothing that some angry person laid on you, some sinner or hateful person laid on you. You should not wear that clothing. You should realize that you are redeemed. Amen. You've been bought with a price. He's washed you in His blood, and you now wear garments that are white as snow. By His blood, by His power. Amen. And you have to identify that. It's really important for you to create your future as a godly man or a godly woman or a godly young person. You've got to identify that way. This is who I am. And the enemy is always trying to get you to change that identity. He's always trying to attack the identity that Christ gives you. And I want you to hear me. Amen. He can't destroy that white robe. The only thing you can do is give it up. You can yield over. The Bible talks about yielding your body to obey. Whoever you yield to obey, that's going to be your master. But if you yield and obey Christ, then you don't have to yield and obey Satan. You do not have to ever yield and obey to Satan. Somebody help me with a good amen. Amen. So let's talk about the power of the tongue. There's a positive and negative. I'm going to deal with the negative first. I'll mix in with some positive. I want to end on a positive note. James 3:1-12, the whole scriptures in your notes. James 3:1-12. I'm going to read two large sections. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Anybody in the room never offended somebody with what you said? If you've been married, you know you probably offended somebody, and you might be able to pick out who they are without searching very far. That they've been misunderstood or misjudged or whatever. So everybody has spoken something, and you may not even know who all's offended at you. Don't be surprised if you speak truth and then offend somebody. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. And for all the warm, soft fuzziness that people want to hold the idea of Christ, leave that scripture up there. I'm going to go back to that. The warm, fuzzy thought that people want to paint Jesus, he's all love and loving and loving. Well, he got a cat of nine tails, and he turned over the money changers, and he whipped the guys out of the tabernacle because he was offended, and he called some of the religious leaders, ye den of vipers, And I mean, listen, they didn't kill Jesus because of his origami. They didn't kill it because he made really ugly birdhouses. They didn't kill it because he made weak furniture or poor quality doors. That is not why they killed him. They killed him because of what he said. They hated him for what he said. If you want to be liked by everybody, stop being a Christian. Stop being a true Christian. And on what day do we think Christianity is about being inoffensive? I mentioned it Sunday, and it just kind of gets me. I've read more about it. The lady that was dressed up as Jesus with a low-cut, really heavy, heavy-set lady with a low-cut top, and she's sitting with a crown kind of thing on her head. She said in her blog before that she was going to present a lesbian LGBTQ Last Supper. That was her words that she posted on the internet. Now, the international media is trying to say, oh, that's not, you guys, you Christians that got offended, you're wrong. It wasn't supposed to be the Last Supper. We weren't mocking you. But they also said, we're going to take down all the videos off of Facebook and YouTube. And they actually banned some people for posting the videos that they had on worldwide TV. Billions of people saw it. And yet they're banning people on social media for reposting that because they're so embarrassed about the images and how offended Christians got. You know, that lady didn't care she was going to offend Christians. I don't mean we ought to be highly offensive. I don't think we ought to go around, you know, you're all going to hell signs walking down the street. I don't think we ought to be intentionally offensive. But I think we need to speak truth. Truth's the only thing that saves people. Truth is the only thing that saves people. Because if they're saved to half a truth, is half saved saved? Which half are you going to save them with? Are you going to leave Jesus out because it's more comfortable? Can they be saved without Jesus? Can they be saved without the death, burial, and resurrection? Well, I guess I need to teach on that because I'm not getting amens or oh me's or... You can't be saved without the death, burial, and resurrection. So we ought not be ashamed. We really ought not be ashamed. And we ought to speak truth. If you haven't offended somebody, you're perfect. And everybody in the room is imperfect. Amen? At least amen that. So, and also able to bridle the whole body. I don't know, anybody in the room able to bridle your whole body all the time? 100% of the time? You never get too angry. You never get too loud. You never get too upset. You never get too hurt. You never... Anybody in the room? Anybody in the room not get mad when your kids are in trouble? And you think, well... I'll go down to that school and I'll give them a piece of my mind. Anybody never feel like that when your kids? Or the opposite, I'm going to get that kid when he gets home and I'm going to really take care of him. They took care of him at school, but I'm going to take care of him at home. And maybe a little over-enthusiastic in the I'm going to take care of it. And I'm not calling you children beaters. That's not my point at all. But Maybe I ought to finish reading the scripture. Behold also ships which put bits. I'm sorry. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. Behold also ships, with, though they be so great, are driven with fierce winds. They're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. You can ride a horse. You can raise a pig. You can take care of cows. You can even work with snakes. You can do all kinds of physical stuff with the world. I've seen people teach fish stuff, and master trainers get dogs to do all kinds of really fun things. But it says you can't control yourself 100%. The issue is we control ourselves 100% of the time, 90% of the days. Or maybe 95% of the days. But that 5%, and I'm just talking about us as humans, not us as Christians, not us as Elkhart Life Church. I'm just talking about us as humans. Even though I'm in a room full of really good people, anybody have a bad day? Anybody have, Dave, you're just not really on? In fact, your husband would say, well, you're a little off today. Maybe you ought to go back and drink another cup of coffee. Something's got to change here because you're just a little off. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, set on fire of hell. Man, that's a powerful set of scriptures. Every beast, birds, we all control that. Therewith, bless we God. The tongue can no man tame, unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith, bless we God, even the Father. Therewith, curse we men, which are made after similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place, sweet and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine, fig? So no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Somebody help me and say amen. Let's pray that we're sweet waters. God, I thank you for your great grace, abundant, overwhelming mercy. Pray, God, that you would anoint our hearts and minds. God, I pray that your Spirit would give us strength and understanding. Amen. How powerful our words are. God, help us to learn to speak beyond ourselves. God, to speak God things to our families, to our children, to our community, to our co-workers. I pray, bless us with a blessing mouth. In Jesus' great name. Amen. So the significance of the tongue, James 3, 1 through 12. The tongue is unruly. It's an unruly member. Verse 26, it is a test of true religion. Matthew 12, 34 through 37 and 15 and 18. It reveals the condition of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let me just say for a moment, I'm acknowledging sometimes we're not in the best mood. And, you know, I can be in a bad mood just because I'm hungry. And I find now I'm diabetic and I'm about 10 years into diabetes. And I find I'm a little more cranky. I don't know if it's because I'm older or because I'm diabetic. But that's one of the things with diabetes. If you get hungry, you can tend to get a little angry. So if you ever hear me up here really letting you have it, somebody hand me a donut. Just get up. keep a rescue donut somewhere down here in the front that you pull out and hand to me, and all of a sudden I'll change. I don't know. But isn't it true? Don't you get a little cranky if you're hungry? A little short, huh? Hangry. Yeah, there's that commercial with the football players out there, and grandma's out there throwing the ball, and somebody hands them a candy bar, and all of a sudden it's really a young man instead of grandma. I resemble that remark. I really do sometimes, I think. So, let me just throw a word in. Pay attention to that. Sometimes you really don't want to deal with something until somebody's had a bite to eat. After the meal's over with would be a better time than let's sit down before we eat. I got a problem I want to deal with. Might not be a good time to deal with that problem. You might want to wait until his belly's full or her belly's full before you deal with it. So it reveals a condition of the heart. The mouth speaks because it's going on inside of your heart. I would also say you can't get away then with the idea that, well, I was just having a bad day, and therefore I said, you know, I threw out a few F-bombs or, you know, whatever, and so it's just, you just got to understand. I'm hungry, and therefore I'm going to throw out a few swear words. No, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're saying X, 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 it's because it's in your heart. And if it isn't in your heart, you can be hungry, hangry, and not, you can be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there is no place for evil communication. And it, Listen to me. Pay close attention to this thought. It's a self-management tool. If you find yourself saying something you shouldn't be saying, I'm not trying to condemn you. That's not my point. I just want you to pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to how you say what you say and how, let's call it the tone you say it in. And if you've got a hot tone on a regular basis, maybe you need to get a tune-up. I don't know why. A while back, I was goofing around somebody, and they had a guitar, and I said, well, I think I could, I got an app. You know, you download an app, and you push the app, and you want to hear G, you go ding, 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 ding. And the app says, you're red, you're red, you're red. Oh, you're red this way, you're red there. Oh, okay, now you're green. And you know, hey, I got it in G. And then you go to F, and you go to Q or P or whatever you're playing, and you get it tuned up. And we all need to get tuned up. So you can self-manage that. You don't need me to yell at you in church to get you tuned up. Self-manage. I'm out of tune. I got a bad attitude. I got a bad thought, a bad spirit. I've got something going on inside of me, and I need my spirit tuned up. And here's the tuning fork. Find an altar, find a place, find prayer, go into the bathroom, lock the door, keep the kids out, tape them to the walls. Duct tape your kids to the walls. It only works, you know, a couple hours. They can hang there, throw a few chips or something on the floor to let them get to them. Spend some time in prayer, whatever it takes. I'm just kidding, obviously, but we've never taped our... Have we ever taped our kids to the wall? No, I don't think we've ever taped our kids to the wall. So, 4A, we must control our speech. The A is control. We must control our speech. B, it can hinder our blessing. It can stand in the way of you and God. Sin always blocks God's blessing. So you want to clear your heart of sin. Isaiah 59, 1 through 8. And this is a long reading again, but I'm going to read it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you. It's clean, simple language. If we're committing sin, God turns away. He can't work with us, through us, with sin. We've got to have a clean heart and a right spirit. Then he will not hear. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs. I had to look that up. I thought, is that a cockroach? A cockatrice is a highly venomous viper. You'll die if they bite you. And weave the spider's web, and he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. So it's talking about the cockatrice eggs. It breaks out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting, and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. God is against those judges that judge for cash in their hand instead of right and wrong. So we ought to stand up for righteousness. We ought to stand up for the weak. We ought to stand up for the wounded. We ought to stand up for the broken. We ought to stand up to help and to serve others around us. Young people in school, you ought to respond to the kid that's pushed out of the crowd, pushed out of the group, the one that's mocked and made fun of, the guy that's in a wheelchair or walks funny or talks funny or has something wrong with him. We ought to be their protector. We ought to be their... The Bible's really clear. If we're not doing good, speaking truth, helping those, amen, then we may find ourselves on the other side. So let's look at that. A, Israel found themselves in a place of desiring the blessing of the Lord, but couldn't understand why it had been removed. Desiring and removed. Isaiah declares it's not because God's arm has been short or his ear no longer able to hear. Sometimes, as a preacher, sometimes I've had those conversations with individuals, and I've heard people say, well, I just feel like I'm in a wilderness. I feel like I'm out, you know, and God doesn't hear me, and the heavens are brass, and so it's God's fault because God's not listening to me. He's deaf to my cry. And you got to wonder, is that accurate? When does God go deaf? Well, the only time he does is when you're committing sin and you won't repent. And if you won't turn to God, you have turned away from God. And it's I know I've got a mic on, but if I turn around and I'm talking like this, you back there can't really hear what I'm saying unless I have the mic on. But if I'm facing you, you're more likely to hear what I'm saying. And so if God has his back to you, it's only because there's sin. And all you've got to do is repent. Anybody in the room realize you want a relationship with God? You want to be in that walk with God? God, help me. God, wash me. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, David said. Amen. So it's a very simple thing to get in the good grace of God and have God hear you. But if you refuse to do that, God's not the problem. Now, is every time you feel like praying and you feel like there's a heavens or brass, are you a dirty, rotten sinner? Probably not. You're not chasing innocent blood, as the scripture describes. But going to God instead of going away from God is a more reasonable response. The hatching of cockatrice eggs refers to a sin of the tongue, namely backbiting and gossip, talking about people behind their back. Now, let's be really clear. Everybody talks about somebody behind their back. You talk about somebody behind their back. I've had people just highly offended. They found out somebody talked about them behind their back, and they stood and told me what that other person was saying behind their back, but they didn't bring that other person with them so we could share it together. And isn't that the same thing? Well, I'm telling you. Well, the Bible says if your brother offends you, go to them. Man, we're afraid of doing that. And generally we say, well, I don't want to make it worse. I don't think they'll receive me. But I've had so many people say all kinds of things when it comes to talking to me. Well, I know what you're going to say. And so why would I go talk to you when I know what you're going to say? Well, what am I going to say? Well, you're going to say this and this and this. I said, I wouldn't even cross my mind to say that. This is what I would say. Well, I never knew that's what you'd say. I thought you were going to say. And actually, I've told you before, but I had a young man that scheduled a meeting with me, and he was mad at me, and he knew I was going to say all kinds of stuff, that he was really going to catch me. So he laid his iPhone down, and I thought nothing of it. He laid his iPhone down on my coffee table in my office and just laid it down. And I didn't realize he turned on the recorder. So he could tell me what a dirty dog I was and how he didn't like me and the things that I did or said or whatever. And he knew that I was going to rise up and scream at him and maybe swear a little bit. I don't know what all he thought I was going to do. But he was convinced that he was going to catch me and he was going to show everybody how rotten I was. And instead, I said, please don't take that attitude. It's going to damage you. You're not hurting me, but you are going to hurt your spiritual development. You are going to hurt yourself long-term spiritually because you can't do this. You can't do it this way. This is not going to work for you. You're not going to come out. And I had no idea he's recording me. And then he ended up leaving, going to a different church, and someone from that church called and told me that he had recorded the whole thing, and he was really going to pass that around in some of the ministers and really show what a terrible guy I was. You just never know what people are doing. You just don't have any idea what's going on. Years later, I talked to him again about it. And he said, you know, I apologize. I really thought you were going to, and I thought you were going to, and you would say, and he said, you really surprised me that day. I said, man, if you wouldn't have just been so mad at me all the time, and you just let me, I wanted to help you. I was trying my best to help you, even though you didn't like what I said. It was for you, not to tear you down, but to help you succeed. So F, God's dealing with Israel is a strong warning. The word is warning to us as to how God views sins of the tongue. So we can't turn around now and say, okay, it doesn't matter what I say, it's okay. But God says, look, you can't talk about it. Incorrectly. Talebearing is defined as gossip in a negative way or negative meaning of the word. Psalms 101 and 5, Proverbs 11 and 13, Proverbs 17 and 9, Proverbs 26 and 20, and Romans 1:29 through 30. I'm not going to read all of those. Number two, backbiting, speaking evil or mean things about someone. Three, slander, false or unverified rumors that defame someone. That's on your evening news. That's one politician talking about another politician. Man, I don't know why our political landscape is such slander and attack, but it seems to be. Number four, even truth can be tale-bearing if told to someone who does not need to know, is only told to hurt someone's reputation. Number five, if you're not part of the problem, you're not part of the solution, then probably you don't need to be involved in it. You know, I've learned there's some things I just don't want to know. As your pastor, you don't have to tell me everything. I'll go ahead and say it. As your pastor, if you tell me some things, I'm going to call the police. I told somebody in my office several years ago, a number of years ago, I think I know what you're fixing to say. And if you tell me what I think you're going to tell me, as soon as you walk out of this office, I'm going to call the police and tell them you told me. So if you want to tell me, I've got ministers who have been arrested and thrown in jail for not telling. When it comes to children and how you treat children, if you tell me that you've mistreated a child in certain ways, I will call the police on you. Whoever you are, whatever child you are, whoever your parent is, however how long you've been in the church, whatever strength and power your family has in the church, if I lose them because I called the police, I don't have to go to jail. So, and I'm protecting you, and I'm not going to protect someone who molests your kids. I'll never do that. I'll be really clear about it. And I'll tell you that I'm going to do that. And this is not the first time I've said it, and it won't be the last. I won't say it all the time, but that's something that we just cannot be a part of. So, sowing discord. If you get mad at somebody, I don't know why, we just do this. We want an A team versus the B team. We want to get enough people on our side to know about it so they can be mad with me. I'm not going to be mad by myself. I want everybody to know they backed into my car and it's their fault. I was in between the lines and they weren't paying attention, whatever happened, and they backed into my car and they dented it and they said they're not going to turn in the insurance and they're not going to pay me for it and they're dirty rotten. And I'm going to say it loud enough and long enough till they leave the church. Really? That's never happened here, but that attitude can happen anywhere. Sowing discord can cause problems. Proverbs 6:16, the Lord hates the one who sows discord. With a tongue, we either unify or divide. So is it good? Is it beneficial? Does it build up or does it tear down? E, swearing, we've talked a bit about that. I'm going to skip that. We've already talked about it and talked about it last week some. F, taking the Lord's name in vain, we talked about that. Exodus 20 and 7, A, we're to avoid all vain, useless, irreverent, profane, trivial uses in the name and title of God. Don't use slang substitutes. This is something we work with our teenagers often about. Our teenagers should not use some other form of curse word. G, filthy communication. Stuff ought not come out of your mouth. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. Obscene, dirty, vulgar, or suggestive language. You can say things without saying the word and be very suggestive. Now, occasionally, I've even said something over the pulpit and didn't realize I said it until the youth group starts laughing. And then I don't know what I said that was funny, but or off. And the one Isaac always brings up is I was the Apostle's John. He thinks that's one of the funniest things I've ever said in my life. And I didn't mean it that way, but it came out, and I said, I want to be the Apostle John. And then I tried to explain it, and it didn't help. So that was accidental. It was not intentional, but you can do it intentionally. Jesting means suggestive jokes. H, actual cursing. Romans 12:14, James 3:10, pronouncement of a curse on someone expressing malice that you hope they die, you hope, you know, you have an accident, you hope they whatever. I have said a few times in life, I hope they get what they give out. I think that's biblical. That you get what you give out. That's not a curse. That's a principle. So reviling or railing. I think probably everybody's seen the videos on the news or Facebook or wherever you've seen clips of some woman standing out in the street screaming at somebody for some slight altercation or some slight issue, and they go into a rant and they're just yelling and yelling and yelling and yelling and not listening to reason. That's what I think when I hear the word reviling. They're railing on somebody. You just get so upset you can't control yourself. And you're just screaming. Self-control is a beautiful thing. Point A, abusive, harsh, insolent language. Blasphemy is rebelling against God directly. J, lying and false witness. We've talked about that. Lying by false actions. You can lie. You can lie by leaving something out, not telling the whole truth. It's really important, if you're going to tell the truth, tell the whole truth. Every cop realizes when they go up to an accident, he's going to hear two stories. And he really would like to hear someone who wasn't involved in the accident to tell them a third story, because it's probably going to be closer to the truth. Because if I'm in an accident, I want to make sure that I blame you as much as possible. My insurance company tells me, don't admit anything. Blame the other person. They don't say it that way, but blame the other person. Don't admit to anything, because we might be able to find a way in court to get you out of the trouble unless you confess it. If you say, well, I drove through that red light, you're done. I mean, it's going to be your fault, and your insurance is going to have to pay for it all. And the insurance doesn't care about right and wrong. They just care about if they got to pay or not. And they don't like to pay, in case you're wondering. They don't want to pay any of your bills. They advertise that they do, but they really don't want to. Somebody help me and say amen. Lying by false actions, idle words. Foolish, Matthew 12:36, foolish, idle, stupid talk, Ephesians 5:4. Matthew 5:22, actually calling someone a fool. Too incapable of learning or growing, a fool. Conclusion, Psalms 141:3, set watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. The psalmist understood. And now I want to go to that single page. So that was negative. So we're talking about holiness. So holiness is not just negative. Somebody say that. Holiness is not just negative. And I only have a few minutes left, but I want to get through a few of these verses. Number one, the tongue hath power of life and death. I quoted that earlier. Those who love it will eat its fruit. What fruit are you eating? Look at what you eat. And then change what you say. If you don't like the way your life's going, change what you say. Because you might be eating the fruit of your mouth. So maybe change your mouth. And you can eat better fruit. Maybe this is not good. Maybe I'm not uplifting. I thought, man, I'm going to be uplifting here with these verses. Proverbs 15:1. I love some of these. Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Man. Some of you husbands, you need to get that big. Put that on your shaving mirror. Some of you wives, your husbands aren't in here. You need to get that laminated. Put it up on your husband's mirror. And he said, what is that? Well, the pastor said I had to. I don't really know what it means. You look at it and see. I don't know. Pastor said I needed to do it. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, a gentle answer really does turn away wrath. How do you deal with an angry person? I don't have time to go through all of this, but how do you deal with an angry person? Number one, you lower your voice. You're dealing with a loud mouth? Talk quieter. Don't raise your voice back. Sometimes I'm amazed how little we realize, because when you raise your voice back, the other person feels challenged. And they're going to raise their voice even more. And when they raise theirs, you want to raise yours. And pretty soon you're at a shouting match. But if you lower your voice while someone's hot, pretty soon they're going to get embarrassed. Because they're the only ones up here. Nature abhors a vacuum. This is a spiritual truth. Nature abhors a vacuum. Write that in the edge of your notes. Nature abhors a vacuum. So if you're up in a plane and the window pops out, what happens when you're up 30,000 feet and the window pops out? Everything in the plane tries to rush to the outside. Why? Because there's high pressure in the plane, low pressure outside the plane, and if there's a break in between what's holding the high pressure in, it rushes to the low pressure, so you have low pressure everywhere in the plane and out of the plane. That's the reason they have that compressorized compartment, so you feel the pressure of the earth, not the pressure of 35,000 feet. But if you break out a window, everything's going to go haywire for a few minutes as everything rushes out of the plane that's not tied down. What does that have to do with anything? There's pressure in relationships. And when you talk to somebody like this, and they're talking like this, that's unequal pressure. And either you got to go up, or they got to come down. Or they reveal themselves as looking goofy. If you're in control and they're out of control, they're going to get embarrassed eventually. And if you're talking quietly, they're going to want to know what you're saying, and they're going to have to shut up and lower their voice to hear you. I tell every husband and wife, and believe me, I only learned this because we fought like cats and dogs. My mom and dad, my mom and my brothers, my mom and me. And my dad was very good. My dad almost never raised his voice. And my mom always did. And I grew up thinking the way you're going to solve anything is be the loudest one in the room. You know what? You don't want to do that. Gracious words, number five, are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Why don't you use those? Anybody in the room want to be a healer? Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. So what you think about is what comes out. So be careful. Be careful. We all have problems that we got to solve, and we got to think about difficulties and, you know, pressures of life. We all have to do that, but you can get in an endless loop just thinking about that. And if you get in just a constant loop of what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, you forget about what's right and who's right. And I started off by saying whose you are. And whose hand you're in, and who's taking care of your future. And if you begin to think about that, then all that pressure around you, nature abhors a vacuum. And that unequal pressure, you feel all of this pressure and all of these problems and all of this heartache, and you start thinking, well, I'm a child of the King. He knows my name. I'm a king and a priest. He's my God. He's my defender. And you start thinking that, well, you know, all that other pressure kind of releases. He's going to take care of me. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. A word fitly spoken, number nine, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When's the last time you spoke apples of gold? When's the last time you spoke apples of gold? I long for, and I'm certainly not perfect at it, but I long for speaking apples of gold in pitchers of silver. That's a beautiful image. Psalms 19 and 14, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, it's what we've been saying all evening, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Everybody's got caught in a heart loop where you're thinking about the wrong things and you have the wrong spirit attitude. I'd like to murder that guy. I want to back over his dog. He comes over and let that dog poop in my yard again. He's going to be sorry. I'm going to feed him a little strychnine and a liver piece. I'm not saying this church. You got to read the book. You got to read the book, The Devil on Pew 7. I think, is it Devil on Pew 7? The Devil on Pew 7. A guy got so worked up about somebody that did something in church. He got so angry. He put dynamite under the church and tried to blow it up. There's another guy who went to the church donut on Sunday morning and put strychnine in the coffee, and half the church got sick. Several people died as a result. Because he was so caught up in what's wrong with what's going on. And I'm just so mad. He's just so frustrated. And he got stuck there until he actually did something super stupid. That's what the scripture just said. Don't do that. If you're thinking about it, if you're thinking about putting strychnine in the church coffee, come talk to me. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Let me see if I can help you out of that. Let me give you a hint. Don't line up after church. Might kind of give it away. Proverbs number 12, 21 and 23. Guard their mouths and their tongues. Keep themselves from calamity. The better you keep your mouth shut or speak softly, the less calamitous your life is. You work in retail. I look over and see Brother Borlick. He works retail at toy stores. He used to work for Toys R Us, and now he works for Target in the toys. Could you imagine a better person in the world to work in the toy department at a store? Not one. F.A.O. Schwartz ought to hire him as vice president to stand in the toy department and to play the toys and tell people what's fun about it and all of that. But you get a parent in there trying to get that Christmas toy that's been sold out since Thanksgiving, or there's one there and there are three people trying to buy it. Matthew 12, 36, 37, tell everyone give account the day of judgment for every, hear that one, for every empty word spoken. For by your words will you be acquitted, and by your own words will you be condemned. So in other words, God's keeping track of every idle word. God's not just hearing us, He's writing it down. He's got a notebook. If you don't get those pages bleached out by the blood, and that's New Testament, that's not even Old Testament. Proverbs 15 and 4, soothing tongue is tree of life. Perverse tongue crushes the spirit. 1 Peter 3:10, whoever loves life, see good days, must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Proverbs 10 and 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And I'm going to jump down to the last one. Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Amen?
I took a screenshot of those scriptures on my phone, and then I copied and pasted them, and I put them in my notes. And that's a great set of scriptures to have, just in general, on a positive mindset. But as our ushers make their way down, just a few announcements. On Wednesday the 21st, I believe it is, we're having Elk Kids come back. We got a thing. You got the audio for